Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Carrie. So Carrie, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you so much, Leticia. I appreciate you asking me to be on the show. I am a survivor of trauma and abuse, but I didn't only survive, I thrived. And I've been a massage therapist for 23 years and helping people holistically to function better physically in their lives. And that has now kind of transitioned, but merged with being a coach to help people also holistically, emotionally, and mentally to progress better in their lives. I'm a speaker, I'm a podcast host, I'm an author, and all of that is just in an effort to share my story and to let people know that have also been through trauma and abuse that they are not alone and that there is hope to get on the other side of it.
I love the fact that you said I thrived. Without a second guess. And I love that. So tell us your story to and through survival mode.
So trauma for me, for most of my life, started when I was 13. And that had to do with my family. And there was different types of trauma. There was a little bit of physical abuse. There was mental, there was emotional, there was spiritual abuse, all of this throughout different members of my family. And this to me was just normal. I had no idea that this was a toxic household, that the way that we lived, you don't ask questions, you're not allowed to share your emotions, you pretend to be somebody else outside of the family unit so that not to embarrass the family. And I thought that was normal. And so as I went into adulthood, I found that I didn't have a personality because I was always told who and how and when to be. And I really, really struggled. I struggled living with people, especially people who were mentally and emotionally healthy. I struggled with roommates. I struggled in relationships. And as time went on and all of my friends started going through the normal changes in life, having relationships, getting married, having children, that didn't happen for me. And I couldn't figure out why. And so I'm like, I'm trying to pinpoint all these things and change all these things. And for 20 years, from my 20s to my mid 40s, I felt like I was in this holding pattern of not being able to change things about myself that were, you know, not serving me. They were getting in the way. They were walls that were in front of me that I felt like I couldn't get past, but I couldn't figure out where these walls came from or why I couldn't knock them down. And after about 20 years, I had this friend, very good friend that I had met in my 20s, early 20s. And we were friends for a couple of years. And he got married, moved out of state, and we didn't see each other again for another 18 years. And we got back together when he happened to be in state. And I realized that he had matured and I hadn't. And that was a real turning point for me. And around that same time, I had gone to 3 different therapists because every day had just become such a struggle from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep. I just felt like I was white knuckling every choice, every thought, every decision. And all three therapists were like, super simple. You just need to reparent yourself. You'll be good in 12 weeks. And I'm like, this is 30 years of trauma. How is 3 months going to, and all three of them were the same thing. They're like, just reparent yourself. And I'm like, okay, how do I go back and be the parent that I need? Because I'm still that traumatized child when I go back. And they're like, well, you just do it. And I'm like, but how do I switch that mind frame? And it was just the reinstatement of I couldn't change anything about myself. And after 12 weeks, all three of them were just like, you should be good now. Go ahead and go. And it was so discouraging that I became very suicidal. And I had a plan in place and I had a date and I had letters written to people that were addressed and on the counter and stamped and hoped that whoever found me would put them in the mail. And the day before this was supposed to happen, the same friend from 20 years earlier randomly called me out of the blue and said, you need to talk to a friend of mine who's a coach. He had no idea what was going on. He didn't know how depressed I was, that I had any plans, anything. And I was like these three people couldn't help me. This person's not gonna be able to help me. I'm not willing to invest again. I'm not like, it's just done. I'm too broken to be helped. I'm too broken. And he would not let me off the phone until I promised to talk to this friend of his who was a coach. And he was like, just four times, that's it. And I was like, okay, I will do it. I will do it for you. And what I didn't know was that he had this impression that he needed to call me that day and he needed to make it happen. Like, this was an absolute miracle for me. And so I called and started talking to this friend of his named Dave. And I thought he was a lunatic. I thought he was crazy. I thought he was so weird. He started like, we're gonna, and I thought it would just be like talk therapy. And he's just like, close your eyes and we're gonna go back. And he just had these completely unorthodox methods. And I told him, I was still stuck in this 12-year-old mind frame of, I am not gonna tell you anything about me, period. I'm not going to tell you anything. And he's like, okay, let's go. I'm like, you don't have any clue what you're doing. And 3 hours later, I was curled up in the fetal position on my couch, just sobbing. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And he's like, okay, we need to speak again. That was on a Friday night. And he goes, I want to speak Monday. He goes, I want to speak Monday night. And all weekend, there was this little space above my heart that had felt like it was a little bit lighter, weight-wise and color-wise. And my attention kept getting drawn to it. And I'm like, oh, I feel like that one thing that I thought about in my head during that 3 hours isn't as powerful anymore. Like when I think about it, which was what I thought was the first event of abuse, I was like, oh, it's not so heavy anymore. Maybe this guy does know what he's doing. Okay, I'll talk to him again. And we talked for 4 hours on Monday, and the same thing happened. And I was just, and then that space got a little bit lighter. And I was like, oh, I'm carrying a lot of stuff that I don't have to carry. And this whole it from that moment on, that was the shift for me that there's another way to go about this. And maybe it seems woo-woo, but who cares if it works? This guy knows how to work with my brain and teach me how to reparent myself in a way where he will take me through the steps of, let me take you out of being that child and go back to being that parent. And that started to heal me. And we actually worked together for almost 2.5 years. We got to the point where I was coaching him at the same time he was coaching me. We found out 9 months later that we were actually distant cousins, like just from the most random thing. And I'm like, okay, there's something in play here where this needed to happen. There were things that I told him that I had never told another person in my life, but I knew that I could trust him. And as I started healing, I found out that my fibromyalgia, my chronic fatigue, my epilepsy, all of these things that had had me almost completely bedridden started going away. I started losing weight like crazy. And I'm like, okay, this is great. And I thought everything was going to be linear from that point on. You and I talked a little bit beforehand of you think once you start to heal that everything's going to be daisies and roses and tiptoeing through fields with rainbows. And it wasn't that way. He and I worked together for about 9 months. And in the coaching industry, you know that there's a metaphor called peeling back the layers of the onion. You peel back the layers and you can go a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. And after 9 months, we had peeled back so much that memories of the first 10 years of my life of being sexually molested by my father that I had repressed at 10 years old came back. And I found out that was what was keeping me stuck in that holding pattern for 20 years. That's why I couldn't change anything about myself because there was so much that I didn't even know. And that almost crushed me again. However, at that point, I had the skills, I had the tools, I had the evidence in place that, man, I can heal. I can start to heal. And so in the almost 2 years since I've remembered that, I have become a trauma healing coach. I have become a coach that works with people who feel stuck, but people who have been victims of trauma and victims of abuse, because I know what it's like to go through it, and I know what it's like to not even know it's there. And I became a public speaker. I published my story recently. And I'll tell you, the first event that I spoke at was at a conference in January in front of about 250 people. And I had four women come up to me in the day and a half after that and just throw their arms around me, bawling, and say, "I've never met anybody who's had a childhood like mine." And I didn't know that I could talk about it. And I said, "You have met people. We just are taught to not talk about it because it makes everybody else uncomfortable." And I said, "You can heal. You do not have to carry this with you anymore. And I give you permission right now to start talking about it, to start healing from it, and to let it go." And at that point, I knew. I mean, the book was already in publication, but it wasn't going to be published for another month, but the final drafts and everything had been turned in. And so I was like, "This book is now going to go out to the world, and people in this world are going to have hope. And there's people out there who feel completely alone. And my goal in this world is to help people know that they are not alone, that they don't have to keep carrying this, and that there is that thriving that you can get to on the other side of it."
Woo, Carrie. Like a lot was said, and I resonate with a lot of it, right? I have spoken about having compounded trauma. And one of the things that came up for me when I was writing my memoir was my molestation. And it's very interesting how our brain can pack things away in a very tight and neat filed away. But what happens is, as it's filing it away, our body is doing all the things to deal with this trauma.
Absolutely.
We gain weight because we have these unhealthy relationship with food and our emotions. Some of us drink. I drank for years. I found my silence at the bottom of a bottle. It wasn't even healing. It silenced my thoughts. And until we deal with our trauma at a very cellular level, that becomes our story. I, like you, I had a suicide attempt in my teenage years. I went to therapy for nearly a decade. I wasn't unable to unpack my trauma because I knew I had to be in this space, right? Like I had to go to therapy 3 times a week for years. And what happened was I was able to then say what needed to be said to get through my session. But what essentially, I was doing was just reliving my trauma over and over because I didn't have the tools to deal with that. I'm now
Exactly.
leaving my therapy sessions and feeling like I need something else. And very much like you, and I said this to you before we started recording, it was working with a coach who it absolutely changed my life. It made me recognize that the stories that I was holding on to, the identity that I had applied to myself, was the reason why I wasn't moving forward. It wasn't the events. It
Right.
wasn't. It was
Right.
how I dealt with the events, the lack of tools around dealing with my trauma, and then the narratives and the stories that I picked up to make me feel comfortable, to almost validate my existence, right? Which is why I think, first of all, these conversations are so important because you talked about, like, so many of us think that we are suffering in silence and alone, and that nobody, not one person on this earth of 8 point how many billion people will understand. But the
Yeah.
truth of the matter is, our silence perpetuates our trauma. There is so much healing that happens by being honest about our stories, right? Like just telling our stories. And then it also creates community so that we can connect with people who understand us, because that is part of that survival mode. Nobody understands, so I'm gonna sit here and suffer in silence on autopilot and just live my life.
I think for me, there was also this feeling of, I didn't choose this. Like, these things happened to me. Why do I have to carry this for the rest of my life? Because we don't know that there's a way to let go of it. We don't know that there's anything out there. And it's not even the ability to, it's the, again, the beliefs that we take on that other people give us that say, you have to. And we're like, oh, this is my life. I have to.
Absolutely. A lot of the beliefs that we carry are someone else's, and
Oh, so
we do
true.
not recognize that at all. When I talk about leaving survival mode, I say there are three phases: self-awareness, because we can change what we cannot see; reprogramming, changing the stories that we carry; and then reinvention, right? Being able to drop the identity that kept us safe, that allowed us to survive, but then pick up an identity that empowers us, that allows us to take radical ownership of our lives. And they are two inherently different things, two very different identities. And until you are able to adapt a new identity, you don't recognize how much of your life you are giving away.
It's so true. Oh, I love the way that you say that. It's very, very true. You give that power to those other people so many times that aren't even in your life anymore, because you're living into their identity of you. And in reality, no, I mean, anything can be true about you. It's whatever you decide is true about you. But when you're holding on to the identity that somebody else, and you may not even be conscious of it, somebody else said this, somebody else did that, and we hold on to that. I mean, that was the whole thing with the light opening up. I was like, oh, I didn't know it was normal for people to not hold on to every single thing that was said about them or around them or toward them, or the assumptions that I thought that other people were thinking about me, that those people were probably thinking, you know. Do my socks match my belt? And I'm just like thinking, oh, wait, they must be thinking that, you know, it just is. We don't have to hold on to that. We have free will. We don't have to hold on to any of that. Because so much of it, I would dare to say, probably 90%, 95% of all of it is not even true. It's just ideas.
Ideas that are recycled over and over. So I love using this statistic because it really drives home the point. 95% of our thoughts are recycled from yesterday. 50% of our thoughts are lies.
Oh my gosh, that's one thing I've been working on lately is doubt your doubt, and you don't have to believe everything you tell yourself.
Exactly.
It
And this is the thing, until we recognize this, which is why I think self-awareness is key, right? Until we recognize this, we could literally be holding on to a narrative for 20 years and not recognizing it, right? That then shapes the way that we live our lives. And one of the things that I think was very powerful for me in becoming a coach was the understanding of the direct correlation between thoughts, feelings, emotions, and actions. I had no clue about that previously. That was so powerful for me to learn because it then allowed me to check myself. And I would check myself very openly and publicly. I would be walking on the street saying, "No, girl, we ain't going there today," because I learned how powerful my thoughts were. And there is this ignorance to how our thought processes work, how our subconscious works, which allows us to perpetuate the trauma over and over. It allows us to perpetuate the abuse that we experience over and over, because especially with emotional abuse, right? We can be emotionally abused for years. We then start believing, and this is how, let me just say this, a lot of people end up being physically abused because of the emotional abuse and how powerful it is. If we take on any part of that narrative, it starts to break us down. It breaks us. And then our subconscious then is like, well, this is the state that you're in. You've been here for a little while. And every time you try to exit this, I'm going to pull you back because this is now become our safe space. It's so much that goes into changing the way that we show up in life. It's not easy, right? Like you said, I've
Oh
had
no.
decades of trauma, decades of it. How am I going to change this now?
It's there's two things that came up for me while you were speaking. One of them was the scientific part of it. When you say your nervous system is going, pulling you back into what is safe, there's the neural pathways in your brain that are formed, and that's where they go. And this healing I have found, because I thought, again, I thought I would heal and then life would be dandy and tough things would happen every once in a while. And I didn't realize I still every day sometimes have to keep fighting to rebuild new neural pathways. So it's a constant thing. I mean, I'm part of a coaching group and we constantly talk about the mountain without a top. You're constantly working on it. So there is no, I'm healed completely. You can always be triggered because you have those neural pathways that physically you're building in your brain. But the other thing that came up for me is when you become aware of what your patterns are, when you're not a victim to them, and you become aware, it's amazing when you're like, that's what I was doing. That this is what I always do. When you're able to catch yourself and pull yourself out of it and say, like you said, this is we're not gonna run the same thing. And you're like, wait a second, that was so damaging, that kept me stuck, that kept me hurt, that kept, but it was familiar. It was familiar. And how the nervous system would rather be familiar in a horrible situation than it would be uncomfortable or unaware or unfamiliar in a better situation.
It's amazing how this brain works of us. Like I tell people, I think if you don't have awareness, if you are unaware of how the subconscious works, let me tell you, your subconscious can be your biggest opposition. Okay? I'm keeping it
Absolutely.
real with you
It's very
because
true.
it keeps us in a place of familiarity. And for us, for so many people, familiarity is toxic. Familiarity is the abuse, the trauma, the all of the negative and toxic stories that we tell ourselves, right? Which is why that piece about self-awareness is key, right? Without self-awareness, it's like being in an ocean, a dark, dark ocean in the middle of the night. You cannot see to the left, to the back, to the right, to the front. You see nothing, but you are traveling and you have no idea where you're going. This self-awareness is like a lighthouse. It's like a beacon of light that comes down. And if I assume that everybody knows what a lighthouse is when I use this metaphor, but it's literally just a beam of light that lights your path for maybe 30 seconds on rotation. But that 30 seconds gives you the opportunity to see what's in front, what's to the left, what's to the back. And it also gives you the opportunity to make a different decision and move out of a path that could be essentially deadly for you. It's so powerful. It's so life-changing when you get to that place where you recognize your patterns, you recognize your habits, you recognize what you do to keep you stuck, right? This is not about anybody else. This is not about the people who victimize you. This is not about anything external. It's about you. And when you can take ownership of that, and be aware of it and constantly challenge yourself. Like, no, subconscious, you are not gonna be my up today. Life changes. And you said something so beautiful. A lot of people seem to think that healing is this destination. Well, let me tell you something, boo. It is not that. Every level that you unlock, as you heal, as you grow, as you evolve through radical ownership of your life, you will be presented with a new lesson. You
You
will
will.
have to face something from your past. And one thing about whatever you believe, God, the universe, it will test you and
Yeah.
test you
Oh.
until you can prove you've learned the lesson.
It's so true. And I think that's what stops a lot of people when they start down that healing path, is that it seems so massive and overwhelming and difficult. And it is. It's going to be. But when you, with the lighthouse metaphor that you talk about, how the light spins, and so it lights it up for about 30 seconds, right? The more you stick with it, the more aware you are, the faster that light starts to go, and you start seeing things so much quicker, and you can catch yourself so much quicker. And that's where you start building those new neural pathways. But you also start seeing things on a bigger picture, on a bigger scale, on a big, I am doing things now that I never could comprehend that I would be able to do. The fact that I would be on podcasts or speaking on stage or writing a book or doing a year ago, no. Never thought that I would be capable of that, that I had anything interesting for people to say, that none of it. I couldn't comprehend that what I am doing now, it's anything that I could have done a year ago. I could have never imagined. And right now, my future is so open. But it's come through a lot of hard work over a long period of time. But I was also blessed to find those people in this world who understood the self-awareness process, who understood the abuse process, who understood that it's a process and we're not going anywhere. Unconditional love for me was a thing that I didn't know was real. I did not know love without conditions for 46 years. And once I learned that, that helps me giving that, extending that to other people, that's where the coaching comes in. Because I'm like, you're not too broke. I thought I was broken. You're not too broken to be loved. You are not too broken to be loved, and we can get through this together, and I will be here and I will hold your hand. And to find a community like that, they're out there, and that was just life-changing. That was life-changing because in those moments where you get triggered or those moments where you have to fight those battles again to prove that you're sticking to the path.
And a lot of times we seek community in the wrong places, and I want to say this, right? A lot of us seek community in the places that broke us, and we can't heal in those spaces. And I get it. It's another familiar space, right? But when we commit to us, what I've learned and what I've seen over and over, we get placed into spaces like unaware, unintentionally, that supports our healing. It happens. I don't know, it's just the way it works. I don't know how else to describe it. Every time I focus on another level of my healing, the support system showed up. And it looked very different from what I expected, but it showed up. What it takes is you taking that first step, you being willing to take ownership, you being willing to put on the elbow grease and put in the work. But once you do, that community creates itself around you and it supports you. And that's been my experience. That's been my experience with many, many people that I've spoken to. It's just taking that first step and then finding the support and the community as you develop.
You say that it's so true. It made me think of, I used to think that people were either gifted with a wonderful life or given a horrible life. And I was given a horrible life. And so that was my mentality. And so that's all I attracted was situations and people who would, reinstate that. And when you start taking that step and you open yourself up to something different than you've ever known, you start getting different people in your life and you attract those and than you've ever known. And it's such a beautiful thing.
There's a saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I'm telling you, it happens. You will be surprised by how it happens. You even spoke about your miracle, your friend calling you out of the blue. Like, it happens. And you just have to be willing to take that step. Oh, Carrie, this conversation has really like energized me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I this I'm really passionate about these conversations. I'm really passionate about helping, first of all, someone I self-identify with their trauma. I think that's key, because a lot of times we don't even recognize that we've been traumatized and we operate from that space for a very long time. But it's also really giving these stories the opportunity to be that beacon of hope and light for somebody else, which I really truly appreciate. So tell us how we can connect with you online.
There's so many different ways. I'll first tell you that the name of my business is called Resilience Mind and Body Healing. Sorry, Resilience Mind and Body Coaching, because in my healing, I still integrate some of my massage, my somatic, my energy work, and do that with neurolinguistic programming and coaching. So my goal is to help people physically and mentally. So Resilience Mind and Body Coaching.com is the website. Resilience Mind and Body Coaching at Outlook.com is my, it's an email. And then you can also get a hold of me on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Instagram. If you look up my name on YouTube, it tells the story behind why I wrote my story in the book that I did. There's all different ways that you can.
I will make sure all of that information is in the show notes, listeners. So, Carrie, just before we wrap it up, give us one key takeaway for the listeners to action.
So I'm going to give what is my action word or action phrase for me this year, and that's do it scared. Do it scared. It is terrifying sometimes to be able to step forward and share some of the things we've been through with people, but do it scared. Do it anxiously, do it, just do it, but do it scared. Because
Do
every
it
time it's
scared.
going to be a little bit easier and a little bit easier until you that fear is gone.
Do it scared until the fear is gone. Yes. Thank you so much for
My
your time
pleasure.
here on Survival Mode Disrupted. And listeners, thank you for catching another episode. And I want to remind you, as always, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive, disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.